Jerry?
Yeah, they're, we retire.
I'm gonna be in St. Jude's waiting for it all.
Yeah, Prince is gonna be off, I think.
Matthew's planning on retiring the end of this year. And I think I've got a couple, I think, you know, kind of lined out for that. Larry thinks he might want to come back some part-time next year, but nothing like this year. And then Matthew said maybe part-time too, it's, he would, but then Bobby, he's gonna retire maybe next year too. So, I've got another one today that's in mind, that's wanting to maybe come in part-time this year and turn into full-time. That's what I want to do. That's one reason.
All right. Good morning. This is a meeting with Marion County Commissioners Court. It is 9 a.m., the 11th day of July, 2025. Today present is myself, County Judge Lee LaFleur, Commissioner Precinct 1, J.R. Ashley, Commissioner Precinct 2, Jacob Patterson, Commissioner Precinct 3, Paul D. Webb, and Commissioner Precinct 4, Mr. Jared R. Lee. This meeting was posted with the Marion County Clerk, Ms. Kimberly Wise, on the 7th day of July, 2025, at 1:48 p.m. The first item that we will have is a prayer. Commissioner Patterson, if you don't mind leading us in that prayer.
Well, gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the day that you've given us today. We ask your blessings over this court and this county. Lord, help us to conduct county business according to thy will. Give us the wisdom needed, Lord. We ask your blessings over the people in the county, and we ask your grace over us all, Lord. We thank you and give you all the praise and glory in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Followed by the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The first and only item on the agenda is the budget workshop. DJ, y'all remind me to get her shirt made up. That's a budget queen, isn't it?
She don't like them to be tight, though. You know, she wants to be loose.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning? So I think we can start with the COLA increase discussion on TDRS. You want to start there?
Well, you got that DLC. Did you make copies of that for you?
I have them, yes, ma'am.
What'd she say?
She has them. She's passed them out.
Okay.
It's been a rough week, Shannon. You know that.
All right, we've got it.
First of all, just to let y'all know, we have 55 retirees and 26 beneficiaries that are now having their retirement taken in.
55 and then 26?
55 retirees and 26 beneficiaries. The last, the most recent COLA that we gave, and it maybe, I don't know if it's the only one, but it was in 2022, and it was 30% CPI, which is Consumer Pricing Index. They go by the Consumer Pricing Index. So we just did a plan customizer. We just did, if you look on the top, it's our current plan. then we did it at 20% CPI, and we did it at 30% CPI on that first page, just to compare. And I kind of highlighted the retirement plan rate, because if you look at that, if we go with the 30% CPI, it is going to increase our retirement plan rate. We've been at 1196 for a while, so. But our fund ratio has been really good. On the second page is the 3% flat rate.
So basically, as BJ said, the only one where we would have an actual dollar amount effect to the budget is if we go to 30% CPI, because our rate will go from 11.96 to 12.46. And for the general fund, that's like $11,700. For the road and bridge, it's like $3,600, just to give you an idea.
Is that for the year?
Yeah, that's an annual.
So it'll just be one lump sum added to the budget.
So it'll be like $15,000-ish.
Yeah, total.
And that's on the 30% or the...
That's on the 30% CPI. That's the only one that changes our contribution rate. But she did say, she was telling BJ that whichever one we kind of decide that we want to look at, like if we want to go with the 30%, then BJ needs to call her and she's going to run like some type of analysis to make sure that every retired employee will get an increase, because it depends on, I don't know, their funds, their distribution, whatever. And, you know, some people may not get one, or it might be different. So she wanted to run a report for us, and that's going to take about 2 weeks to run.
Well, why don't we look at that and that 30% CPI?
Okay, you want to look at the flat rate too? She can do two, you know, she can do a couple of reports for us.
Yeah, let's do the flat rate as well. So just so we know.
I mean, 3% is as high as we can go. So we're going to do 3% flat rate and 30%. Okay.
So we're going to look at the 3% flat rate and 30% CPI.
Okay.
We'll look at both of them.
It's going to take us about 2 weeks to get those.
That's fine. That's fine.
I'll get on it today.
Okay. She said it would take about 2 weeks. Our next meeting is supposed to be July 31st. Hopefully she'll have it to us by then, but we might have to schedule another meeting or wait till the next meeting. She said they have their conference coming up or something, and I'm not sure when she'll be able to put the request in.
That's fine.
So.
I don't. Gentlemen, y'all have any questions about that?
On the office request, the only other department that I got was this year. I put it in your books under the request tab. He did not ask for anything. He had $120,000 on there. That's for his. They want to get a new software, but I have that budgeted right now in the special tax money, so it's not any, no change. He didn't ask for any change to the general fund.
Chair, do you have anything to add?
On our budget, the fuel, I think that seems like really about another $5 million for fuel expenses. And travel and education, if possible, about 2,000 extra. We've got so many schools and stuff we got to take that I don't want to go over the line.
I mean, on education, we have the Leo fund, which is a separate fund.
Yeah,
that's fine. Are we pretty good on the Leo's fund, or we haven't gone over?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of money in there.
Okay.
Do
So basically, just a $5,000 increase in fuel.
Yes, sir. Just, I don't want to go over budget on.
Sure.
So, I mean, we've increased our mileage for patrol and search for six years.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a lot. Yeah, the capital outlay is, just mark that out. We've got that taken care of.
Yeah. But I don't see any problem with that, any of that. Always makes me feel better when the most expensive department comes in and says, I only need $5,000 more. And Karen's here, and she said she's got everything in her brain.
I'm a little mixed up, so I'm tired of looking at the election law. I can promise you that.
And then Judge Beatty's in the jail doing some work. I told him to just cut up when he got a moment. And I believe.
Was Karen going to talk, or was she going to say something for next time?
No, I don't. Do you want to?
I can tell y'all what y'all are going to be looking at on the election law, but it is hard, no doubt. And there's a Senate Bill 2753 that goes into effect September 1st. And with this bill, they made a lot of changes to early voting. You know, but it's a coin toss on when it really becomes effective, because they're also in the, written into the law that Secretary of State has to issue directives to the counties on how, exactly how to implement. And when they're 100% confident that all counties in the state of Texas can comply. They don't care if you're a small county. They don't care if you're a big county. The changes happen. What's going to happen is your early voting period, they reduced some of the weekdays, but they added every weekend day. They added more hours on Sunday. They added the day before Election Day, which is the day that y'all know that we use to set up equipment. They added that day, and it's a 12-hour day. So I'm not real sure when my girls are going to sleep. Because when early voting starts, it don't stop until Election Day. We even have to have early voting locations open on Election Day. So that means we'll have an additional polling location, the main early voting location, which is the tax office. The other early voting location, it's not going to matter because it's early vote. I mean, it's an Election Day polling place. So I think we're good there. I'm going to, with that change, it's going to increase overtime for election workers, because the previous change to the law that they made was Sunday was a 6-hour day. Now it's a 9-hour day. So you're looking at additional election worker expenses and overtime. And if you know anybody that wants to be an election worker, please have them call me, because that's the other thing that's going to happen is we're going to have to do some heavy-duty recruiting. Because a lot of our election workers are starting to age out. And unfortunately, some have passed this year and last year. So it's kind of been a little hard to get those people replaced, because they were our seasoned, you know, do it right people. So I looked at what Shanna's got in here. Because next year is a primary year. I don't know if 40 is going to be enough on the extra help. because of those changes. I know that overtime really knocked us out in 2024. It's going to be that or more. We try to juggle it and try to schedule the people so that they don't end up with overtime. A lot of the overtime is support staff, comp time. Giving them comp time is really not an option because we're so short-handed. We can't lose people. So that is going to be your issue. The other thing that's going to be your issue in elections is maintenance agreements will probably, that 28.5 she's got in there is probably going to be good. I think those are the only areas that you're going to have some type of increase. I don't know that I can stay below the 40. And the other is my stipend. I'm asking again that y'all increase that. During the election season and beyond, I mean, I'm already working on March primary and the November election hadn't happened yet. So the hours that I put in on election far outweigh the stipend. I don't know when I'm going to sleep again.
Can you use high school students that's age 16 or over on weekends?
16 or over, I can use them even during the week.
Yeah.
Problem with that is they have to be a student that can handle their workload at the school as well as the election duties. And we can pay them just like the election workers. We had a good supply of those people graduated, went to college. So that I'm going to be heavily recruiting at the school. School does have to agree and sign off on allowing the student to miss school to work elections, but they do it. So
are you allowed to use the high school student of 16 or over from outside the county?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
I just have to look into that. They did make some changes with all of that, the last legislature session and this one. So if I can, I mean, homeschool students, I can use them.
What about the academy kids?
If they're in Marion County, I can. So that is my focus next year, is to really start recruiting. I want to go to the schools. I want to do a presentation to them. I want to work with the government teachers to increase our
interest,
yeah. Because if I could have one or two high school students working with seasoned election workers at each polling location, it would be a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. It would be nice if they come back and after they graduate college and decide to do it as well, but that hasn't been the case. And like I said, you know, the age of our election workers is older, and like I said, they're dying or they're aging out to that point. I use them as long as they'll work. So. But we did lose one of our election workers recently, Ms. Joy Quark. She worked elections in Dallas-Fort Worth area for 28, 30 years before she moved to Marion County, and we used her. I've got another woman who's moving to our county that wants to work. So the interest is there, but getting them to fruition is tough. The other thing is travel. I think Shana's got on here. possible increase. It's going to be more like 2024. They are adding extra seminar kind of thing. The training team is rolling out a new system, which is going to require some travel for training for that. I added a March election school that I went to Georgetown this year. It was a very good conference, and I got a lot out of it. It is, the way they roll it out is every other year, it's in person, then it's digital. So I can do it both ways. But the year that it's in person, it's not available. So I'm kind of weighing the cons on that. I only went to that one. It would have been nice to be able to take somebody, but I just knew that that was the first time going to that, and it was a TAC election school, and it was really good. As all of you know, we lost Patty last year. Patty was a very, very utilized employee that was paid for by the law firm. I've asked the law firm to replace or at least give me some support, and it has not happened yet. I don't know that it will happen. It would be great if I had another full-time person in the tax office to handle all aspects of the tax office. Patty didn't handle anything but delinquent, but the delinquent taxpayers face-to-face, Patty dealt with them. Phone, Patty dealt with them. Pay agreements, Patty dealt with them. Now that's fallen to me on top of everything else I'm doing. So I would like to go home sometimes. So it would be nice if we could do that. I know that y'all have increased the part-time help, which is wonderful. I have two part-time people, and they are very valued. But it would be nice if I had a full-time person instead of... I still need the part-time person, but it would be nice to have at least one part-time person. I mean, overtime person, full-time person. And I think that sums up what's going to come from me.
Yeah, Karen, I didn't speak to not her. What was her name, Lana? And she said some of the holdout on getting a replacement was a computer that would work properly.
Well, that's part of the problem. Okay. Lee was originally supposed to be here 2 days a week. They rolled out some kind of system upgrade at Lightmarker, and it caused her not to be able to dock her laptop anywhere but Longview. So that took out the person dealing with the phone calls. We did make some changes on the letters. They put their phone number instead of our phone number. That's cut out on some of the calls, but not all of them.
Well, I agree. There's no way we'll ever be able to replace her.
No, I completely agree, and don't get me started crying.
So, because she has so much history in the county, mm-hmm. There's so many people and so many nephews and great nephews to them all. So I would be hopeful, but we will never.
It's going to be tough. We'll never. As y'all know, or most of you know, that I handpicked Patty to replace me when I took office, and she's done a wonderful job. She worked for both law firms. She followed the delinquents. That's what she did. And she won't be replaceable, but I need somebody that's a support person that can code the suits, talk to these people, deal with these people when they come in to take some of the load off of me, because if they call and they asked for Patty, now they ask for me. Girls screen my calls as much as they can, but some of them are just adamant, they're not gonna talk to anybody.
Just one more question, or mine, or do they have a plan about making that computer that might hook in over here, or she could be over here?
They had a plan, I thought it was going to come to fruition soon, but it has not, as of now. Lee comes over, but it's usually property inspections, when, before we sell something, we go out and actually physically look at the property. And, she and I go out and do that, and that is, the last time that she was able to actually work here. Was, we have sale in May, so April. Now, don't get me wrong, she's Johnny on the spot, and Lee is a good, person to handle the suits and do that kind of work. But we need somebody that's here that can support us. And if we hire a full-time person, it will, for the county, I will be able to work them in auto, work them on taxes. Patty didn't handle the money, she didn't collect the money, other than talking to the people. But this person could be used throughout. I could use them for elections, I could use them for anything that we needed them to do. So, something for y'all to gnaw on. I know it's asking a lot, but it would be appreciated.
I have some questions.
Okay.
Okay, right now we have election workers at $13 an hour and election judges at $14 an hour. Is that good, Karen, or do we need to, was it used to be 12 and 13, or?
An increase in election worker pay will help in recruitment of election workers.
$13 and $14 good, or?
I think a dollar an hour would be good. It would be really good if we could do 15, 14. But I know that that would be tough. But I know that we are what we pay election workers is in line with what they're paid statewide. We do surveys all the time between all of the election administrators, and what we're paying them is along with what Cass pays, what Upshur pays, you know, all the counties around us. So the only thing that that would do would enhance my ability to recruit workers. But I could work with 14, 13.
Now, well, we gave everybody a dollar raise, but I wanted to ask you before I changed yours, so I can change them to 14 and 15.
That would be great.
I just wanted to ask. And I'm just being curious. So what do you mean when you say that you'll have to be open the day before elections? I mean, what?
We have to have early voting the day before elections for 12 hours.
Okay, so they're taking out, or they're running out early voting until the actual day of elections instead of cutting it off the week before like they used to.
Right, they used to stop on Friday before election day, and we utilized that Monday to roll out election equipment, set up the machines, and get the polling locations ready. We're not gonna have that break at all.
Okay.
And they're also requiring the early voting locations to be open on election day. The jury's out on whether it's gonna be a early voting location ballot they'll get, or if it'll be an election day ballot. Nobody knows until we get that directive from the Secretary of State. Now, I know that they will roll out that their directives. I anticipate them to not roll it out before September 1st, which will be great, but we have the money in the budget this year if they do. I feel pretty confident that Secretary of State won't drag their feet past December 31st. giving the directives. So I feel pretty confident it's going to be all the elections in 2026 that will be affected.
Okay. And if you look at the budget I sent you, so we have the 40 for extra help and 40 for supplies. Mm-hmm. Then we had 20,000 budgeted for judges and clerks, and in 2024 we only spent 8,900 of that.
I think some of that had to have been coded wrong, maybe.
It was. I think I put it all in extra help. So, but that's my question is, do you think that difference?
I think that.
Coverage, or do you think I need to add more?
I'm really scared to say, but I really think that because part of the election judges and clerks was taken out of extra help, I think the 60,000, 40 and 20 should, you know, because we didn't spend the 60, even though they were coded.
You think that'll be okay?
I think you're going to be okay,
okay,
with those two amounts, as long as y'all don't touch those two amounts.
Okay. And then I know you mentioned your education. What were you thinking that you might need?
I think we may need to go up to 4,500.
In the election
side, and then let me look at the tax side.
I think the tax side was like 6,500.
Yes, I think that between those two amounts, we should be good.
And Shanna, if she needs more, now that we're out of the legislative cycle, you can just, if you need more, you can pull like $1,000 out of mine, because I won't be going to Austin next year near as much, if that makes sense.
Okay. Well, I'll just have money, you know, small amounts of money to move around like that. So I'll take it to the 45, and then if we need from somewhere else, and then the election worker, if that's good. And then she did tell me yesterday I need to raise her software maintenance.
Yes.
It's on page 4 where you can see her budget. I had it at 44.5, and she said I need to raise it to 46,280. So I will make that change too.
And other than that, I mean, I think where I am short, but I have budget, I think it's going to offset itself. I'm praying that it will offset itself. But the biggest, you know, the biggest thing is, what you gonna do about getting me some help? But I do request that y'all increase the stipend as well. But that's what's coming to you.
Okay. Guys, do you have any questions?
Have you looked at what's on the special session that starts the 21st? I can't remember if anything affects elections.
Redistricting.
Yeah, but that's...
I think that's... Unfortunately, they we're small. Harris County is big. So most of what the bills that they're writing are targeting,
they're targeting
one specific area.
They're targeting federal offices. So I don't think it's going to affect us at all. If it does, they're going to pick up a county close to Dallas to add to our congressional district. I don't think it's going to touch us at all.
I don't think we're going to have to do anything with our boundaries. Mm-hmm. And there was some precinct-based combining of precincts and that kind of thing, but I think that in all looking at all of that, that is not going to affect us. It's mainly going to affect the larger counties. Yeah, they used to write bills that were only effective for the larger counties, but unfortunately, we're all punished this year.
Just one quick question. On early voting, they added the day before election, which is 12 hours, and they added 3 more hours to your 6 hours on Sunday. So they added 15 more hours of early voting this year. Mm-hmm. So.
And usually during early voting, there's 2 weekends. Now that they're adding the day before, you'll have 2 weekends. That is 12 hours on Saturday, 9 hours on Sunday, and 12 hours on that day before Election Day that we were not accustomed to.
So they added 18 more hours to the whole early voting.
Pretty much. Well, in the 12-hour days, but we already budgeted for that, I said it that last session.
So they were not 12-hour days before?
Right, well, they were before the 2024 budget. In 2023, they messed with early voting. 2025, they've messed with early voting again. They added all that, remember that binder I brought in? They added all that in 2023, and then they repealed some of it, and they added a lot. Just stop. Call me if you have any questions.
Thank you, Carrie.
All right, thank you.
It baffles me how the state officials think that they can just come to Marion County and say, this is how you need to do elections, when probably close to none of them have ever ran an election or been a part of an election other than their name being let out.
Well, they've been invited.
Yeah.
Senator Paul was invited daily.
I bet they had a line at the
door. I will say, Jay Denton voted against the bill.
Yeah. So. Well, because he understands how difficult that is, because he was in local government.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow. Imagine that.
All right, so staying on the office request, we've got Judge Mitty's here for JP2. If you guys will go through your budget request, it's instead of saying how many pages it's in, it's the third one from the last. So it's your buddy, it says JP2 on the top. The third one from the last.
$285. since magistrate warnings have to be done in person now, that means I have to travel. I cannot use video magistrate like we did, we've had in the past. That was removed from my budget, taken away because we canceled that service, and it was $150 a month. And because this year 77% of my death calls have been in precinct one, and that's been out on the other end. The closest one has been in at Johnson's Creek. The rest of them have been on the other side of in your precinct, which is a lot more travel. The other is a $200 increase in the lawn care. I'm paying about $100 every time they mow and trim up inside the area of my office, and it just according to when mowing time starts, and I have a head of grass out in the front. And so that's why I was asking for a $200 increase in the capital outlay, which is the lawn care.
Senate Bill 22 budget, so that means that The investigator would be the only employee as of now that did not get a raise. So that's what, I should have reminded him after having a meeting today.
Well, we'll have plenty more for him to come to.
Yes, yes, we will.
So on the raise side, that's 35 employees in counting, that is counting sheriff's deputies and jail staff, correct?
Yes.
And then 12 elected appointed officials, that does include the sheriff, correct?
Yes.
Okay. There were some misunderstandings, I would say, the least, the typical county gossip about those employees were going to be left out of our raises, which was discussed previously, but we decided to squash that. So that does include the employee sheriff. So if you hear any gossip, you can tell them they're getting a raise. If we give county employees a raise, they are county employees, and they will also get a raise. If we can do it. I mean, right now we're looking at $390,948.86 deficit. So we're gonna have to take the butcher knife to this thing and see what we can come up with.
Well, I appreciate it. Keeps my mom down.
I don't actually know where that came from, but anyway, every employee got a $2,080 raise, and I also raised the part-time people $1.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it comes in deep in the night when everybody's bored and they want to stir the pot. And we won't know our insurance stuff, as you stated here, until the end of the month.
Right. So, like, we do have another meeting the 31st, but I don't know if I'll have it by then. If I do, I'll present it. If not, we'll present it at the first meeting again.
That's fine.
And then we have in August.
And Shanna, I also want, us to look at what you and I have discussed is that insurance consortium that Ed Cog is putting together. We can do that at a regular commissioner's court meeting and just go from there, just to look at it, just to see what it looks like. So
and that seems like, I did attend that last little meeting, so we might just want to call someone and ask them. It seems like it's going to be a long process, but basically I think you just as a county say that you're interested in it. They need some counties to jump on it, and then they'll basically kind of look at our employees and like our age range and all that kind of stuff, and then they'll kind of put like estimates together to see whether the group would be able to do that through the COG, if that would be, you know, sustainable for them to do.
Sure.
They just need, I guess you could say, test counties. They need test counties.
Gotcha. And I think that, again, we need to discuss this at a regular meeting. I'll get a hold of those guys and see what they need from us, and then I'll present it to the commissioners and see if they're okay with it.
Okay.
Our next meeting is Thursday, July the 31st at 9 a.m. Correct.
Yes. And I know JR had asked me about this, and I did look at it. I think last year we figured out it was like $85,000 per 1 cent of tax increase. So right now you're looking at roughly 4 cents, but you don't have to cover the deficit. But we don't have to cover the whole deficit. We can absorb some of that.
Sure.
Because you can see we have a nice fund balance. We don't have to absorb the whole difference.
And we won't even know those numbers until we get all that back from the appraisal district.
So Shanna?
I will, let me just throw in there. She's gonna certify the 18th.
Okay.
The only thing I'll have to wait on before I have y'all's numbers is the comptroller to roll out the rolling stock.
Yeah.
And that's got to be by the 25th, but I got it early last year. I'm fingers crossed I get it early this year.
Okay.
Yeah. It could change, but essentially, you know, it's the same money, so.
Right.
It's down to 3.5 cents or per cent that the most we can raise before we have a chance of the rollback thing.
It's per cent.
Per 3.5%.
Not cents. Not. Let's get away from talking about cents.
Okay, 3.5.
We only need to work with a percentage rate.
Okay.
Not a money rate.
When I plug it in, it gives that number.
Okay.
So you'll know how much difference. Plus, you've got some unused increment. Remember the other day we talked about unused increment?
We can bank some of that.
Okay.
On a year basis.
Yeah, basically we can't go above the voter approval rate without, you know, causing issues or whatever. So whatever the difference is between the no new revenue and that rate is what we can look at.
Right.
And that unused increment goes, the calculations of what your unused increment will make your voter approval rate high. If that makes sense.
Okay, so no matter what the improvements are the new construction, mm-hmm. we cannot depend on that until the following year, no matter how much it is. It just goes into the general fund, it's just there.
Right, it's
we can't.
Right, it's money that y'all will collect that's not in the calculations,
right.
If that makes sense. And I won't know that number, I really won't, until I get the certification. But I will know it as soon as I get it.
Yeah, look on that second page.
Yeah, it shows out $390,000 or something. But Karen, will we have all this information when we make the final decision on the
on your budget?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you always do.
We'll have all.
Y'all are in the middle of workshops while I'm calculating. Like the 31st, I should know where we're gonna be.
And then I go up and then I go back.
Yeah. It's all gonna depend on what the value is. But as soon as I get everything, I'm on y'all's.
Okay.
Any other questions, concerns, comments? Anything, Jim? Yeah, good.
Good to go. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn by Commissioner Ashley, second by Commissioner Lee. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Bye.